everyone. Welcome back. It's another episode of Inside Boxing presented by PBV.com in association with Uncrowned and Yahoo Sports. It's here. Fight Week is here. May 2nd on PBV.com. David Benavidez going up against Zerto Ramirez. Cruiserweight division. Two belts on the line there, which should be a really good card. And it streams on PBV.com. I just received word that I am heading to Las Vegas for the 23rd time in my life. Unbelievable. So I will be out there.
You've been keeping count?
Yeah, I keep a log. And I rate every trip.
That's great.
So this one is going to be outstanding. It should be a fun Mexican card. Pretty much all Mexican card. Jaime Munguia versus Resendez is on there. Oscar Duarte versus Angel Ferreira, which I don't see how that cannot be a fight of the year contender. So it's May 2nd on PPV.com, live interactive chat with us. If you haven't followed along, it's a great way to order the fight. So if you're going to order the fight on May 2nd, I hope you do, and hope you do it with us at PPV.com. So follow PPV.com on all socials, follow Inside Boxing everywhere. We do giveaways, all that fun stuff. Chris, I'm getting ready to head out. It's here. May is here. I know it says April 26th on the calendar, but it's May in my mind because we got Inoue Nakatani. We got Benavidez going up to cruiserweight. It's here. Thank you. It's here.
Yeah, we were talking about this last week. You know, we had kind of like a slowish weekend ahead, and we're being very spoiled because we had so many good fights. We're like, but we're almost there. We're almost there, and we are almost there. But we're pretty much there. Like you said, it's not quite May, but. I mean, we're already talking about the fight, so that's the beauty of Fight Weeks is you're talking about the future plans, Ben. This weekend is a banger.
Won't be the same without you out there. 5 days in Vegas.
I'm not jealous of you, buddy. I know that's a lot of wear and tear. You're gonna be older. You're gonna be older than me soon. But with these trips, those trips take a lot out of you.
It's the same. If there was like a Venn diagram, or it's not a Venn, like a circle. What's that called? A flow chart.
I don't know where you're going, so you might have been right the first time. You might have been right the first time.
No, it's not. It's not a Venn diagram. It's definitely not a Venn diagram. It's a flow chart. It starts off, I'm excited to go to Vegas, and then I get to Vegas, some excitement. By the third day, I'm very tired, ready to go home, and then 2 months on the couch or 2 months home, excited to go to Vegas again.
Yes. Yeah, so I guess that's a flow chart. That's a flow chart.
Flow chart. Oh, yeah, so it should be a great week. In terms of the content coming out, we have obviously this episode here, which is going to be on Nakatani and Inoue. I don't want that to get lost in the sauce, so we're going to spend this episode breaking down that fight. Thursday, we will have a show from Vegas, at least I'll be in Vegas, talking about Benavidez and Zerto, all the stuff we're picking up there, maybe some Inoue stuff that we can pick up as well. And then Saturday, I haven't talked to you about this yet, Chris. I would like to do a recap after Inoue Nakatani. Because I'm going to be getting up at 5 a.m. Vegas time to watch that, because it's on at 8 a.m. Eastern.
Mm.
Are you down for that?
100%.
Put you on the spot here.
I mean, thank you. I'll of course be up watching the fight anyway. So wait, they made it so it's going to be 8 a.m. Eastern Standard.
8 a.m. That's what I've been heard.
Wow, that's beautiful.
8 a.m. Eastern. 8 a.m. Eastern. 5 p.m. Pacific. I usually get up around 5 a.m. anyway in Las Vegas because of Eastern time. Like I get up. You know what I mean? Like I'm just sitting there looking out at the desert. It's too early to text anyone. It's too early to go anywhere. So I'm just like sitting there for like 3 hours on my bed in Vegas. So
yeah, Vegas is not known for its breakfast crowd.
No.
When I used to live there, like it was hard to go to breakfast. Like it's because there's just not a lot of things open.
There's no diners.
No.
Like I feel like a diner. Like I'm staying at the Park MGM and they have that Eataly in there. And they kind of have like a breakfast, like.
And they got they do like a little paninis and eggs. They're good though. They're very good. Yeah, expensive. Up, like, expensive too.
$20.
$18 for an egg sandwich.
Not great. All right. I'm ready for Vegas, baby. Let's go. I'm going to pack the bags after this. But it should be a really fun one in Japan. This Saturday, they're calling it the day, as in the day is here, right? Why is it called the day? I was wondering why it was called the day.
Because like it's so big, it's this is it. This is the end-all, be-all, the day.
Inoue Nakatani for the undisputed super bantamweight titles, all four of them on the line, plus the ring belt. Inoue number 2 pound for pound, Nakatani number 6 pound for pound. It sold out at the Tokyo Dome, the third ever boxing event there. Mike Tyson, Buster Douglas, Inoue versus Neary, and now Inoue versus Nakatani. Record gate, biggest fight in the history of Japanese boxing, which has a long, storied history. It's here, the day. Saturday.
That's,
let's go.
That's why it's called the day. You just set it up perfectly. It's here.
Yeah,
the day.
That's here. I'm so excited, Chris. And I was breaking it down, reading up on it a lot, and it's pretty cool. Like Japan is experiencing like a major boom in boxing popularity, and not only the popularity off the charts, but also like up and coming Japanese fighters, because of watching Inoue all these years, because of watching Nakatani all these years, two top 10 pound for pound greats, is not just the fans showing interest. There is a big time resurgence in terms of boxers coming up the pipeline, you know, that we're going to see the next 5-10 years more Inoue's and Nakatani's, which is pretty damn exciting.
Yeah, and that happens, right? When you have a star, especially when they become like a megastar, like an Inoue, it just changes the culture. And it changes. It's obviously we're seeing the Japanese culture changing, and it's been happening for a bit. I mean, obviously, I guess it does kind of coincide with Inoue's career, because Inoue's actually had a pretty long career. You know, this is in his fourth weight class. He's been undisputed multiple times over the last, I mean, as long as we've been doing this show, Inoue has been a major player. But I remember when I was working with Top Rank and calling a lot of those Japanese shows, and the talent on the undercards were phenomenal. Like, you just saw these guys, and they're all knockout punchers now. They all, like, the culture has changed. Inoue has created a knockout culture of the warrior spirit. Like, a lot of times they were super technical, very, very tough, but you didn't see a lot of stoppages. Now they everybody gets stopped. They're going out there to try and knock everyone out, exactly the way Inoue fights. Inoue fights to knock you out. He doesn't fight to win. He fights to put you away. And that culture has bled out into the rest of them. You know, the boxing scene over there is sick.
That's awesome. I wish I was there. Can't be everywhere. We will get there one day.
One day.
But I'm glad you brought up that temperament of Inoue, his willingness and his desire to knock out his opponents, because I think, we'll start with Inoue, I think Inoue's emotions are going to play a big part in this fight versus Nakatani. He's been on record saying, I cannot lose to Junto Nakatani. It's clearly a legacy fight, and like I said, shown so much desire and willingness to put on fan-friendly fights and finish fights, and we've seen over his last 24 rounds where he's brought in this new approach where he's boxing more, and we've seen in the fights before that where he goes for those knockouts, gets clipped, gets dropped. So is he going to fight with more reservation that we've seen in the last 24 rounds? Or is he going to play to the crowd and play to that Japanese warrior spirit and try to go in there and drop Nakatani, which could play right into Junto's hands?
I think he's going to go for it.
Oh, maybe.
I don't think he's going to play it safe like the way he did with MJ Akpadali, where he outboxed him. I think that he is going to go for it. I think we could have a situation like the Luis Nery fight. We could have some situation like the Ramon Cardenas fight, where he gets caught early and has to battle back and roars back looking to end you. But again, that, like you said perfectly, that could play into Nakatani's hands. Nakatani strikes me as almost being more cool and calm and calculated than Inoue. Inoue is fiery in the way that he goes about his business. So very interesting dichotomy of these two. You know, the matchup is,
it's juicy.
This is a good fight. This is a good fight. And there's a lot of ways it can go. But I think in a ways national pride is going to get the best of him, and he's going to go for it.
So that could be the end of him, because we've talked about this numerous times.
It could be a brilliant way to win.
Right, right. It would be great for us as we're sitting there watching it. Like, he does, if he hits the canvas and gets, we've seen that. Him hit the canvas early, get up off the canvas, and then knock out his opponent. And that's like a movie plot. I mean, that's out of Hollywood. That's what we want to see. But how many times can he afford to do that is the question. You know, up there at age, fighting on the 20 straight title fights. You know, I think there'll be some in-between for Inoue. I think there's going to be an in-between. He can't just go out there and throw caution to the wind. That's not smart, and I don't think he's going to do that. But I do think he's going to mix it up in there and put himself in that line of fire, like it did versus Cardenas when you were there ringside, and what were those punches were missing by centimeters. Centimeters.
Whizzing. And what were those dangerous punches?
And what were those shots, Chris, that dropped Inoue in those fights? Left hands.
Left hands.
Left hands. Neary, left hand dropped him. Cardenas, left hand dropped him. Junto Nakatani, last I checked, is a southpaw. Can he land something?
His name is a southpaw.
Who?
And he throws that rear hand. And that rear hand of Nakatani, that thing is poison. He can crack with that left hand. And he varies it up really well. He can throw it over the top. He can throw it straight. He throws it down to the body really well. Nakatani is very dangerous. And that left hand is his key power punch. And yeah, this is a juicy one, like you said.
Yeah, like we'll get to Nakatani in a second because I watched his last fight and I have some thoughts there and watched a lot of his fights before that. But I want to continue to harp on Inoue. We talk about his last five fights when we do these previews, but I'm going to go to his last six fights. For some reason, I have Nonito Donaire's box work open. With Inoue, his last six, he's got the Neri win where he came up off the canvas, the Cardenas win where he got up off the canvas. And then he has the last two fights, Picasso and MJ Akhmadaliyev, where it was, I would say he won like 22 or 23 of the last 24 rounds. So, but he's showing in those fights where he has said, at least, that I can't fight like I did in those other fights. I have to be a little more cautious in not so many words. But we're still seeing an Inoue that's throwing 60 punches a round, which is a very good pace. And it's half jabs, half power. It's 30-30. He's a machine. He's landing at 44% power. So you know what I mean? It's like he's the last 24 rounds I've actually enjoyed a lot. It's not the get up off the canvas thrillers, but it's like a different look of Inoue where he's still throwing a lot. He's in and out. He's still powerful. The punches still sound like gunshots, but he's not putting himself in harm's way. And he's mastering the distance, which I think is going to be a huge aspect of this fight.
And he's still dominating too.
Yeah.
It's not like he's having tough fights or they're not competitive at all. The MJ fight wasn't competitive. The Picasso fight wasn't competitive. That's the thing. He's able to shut these guys down. And that just speaks to how good he actually is. He's not just a power puncher. He's not just a knockout guy. He sets everything up. He's got a brilliant jab. We know about his desire to knock you out, but also he's got a great engine. He's got good technical hand positioning. He's technically does everything perfect, except when he gets excited. Then his hands start to kind of fly away from home. But when he is locked in and focused the way he was in MJ and Picasso, he's technically perfect. And you add all of that with the fact that he has power with both hands. He is trying to knock you out at all times and is also willing to put himself in harm's way to do it. He's an all-around fighter. It's very easy to look at Naoya Inoue as a fighter and be like, that's my favorite fighter today. And I speak to a lot of fighters who do say that Inoue is their favorite fighter. My nephew Michael loves Inoue. I think that's his favorite fighter by far. I think he's the most entertaining, the most fun to watch. He does have a style that you can really study as well because the fundamentals are there. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be the hybrid of the two styles, like what you're alluding to. I don't think we're going to get as cautious as he was with MJ and Picasso. And I don't think he's going to see as reckless as he was when he fought Cardenas. Cardenas, he alluded to a little bit, because Cardenas had gotten dropped by one of Inoue's former sparring partners, and he had said that kid couldn't really punch. That was Brian Castro? No.
Carlos Castro.
Carlos Castro. No, not Carlos Castro.
Oh.
Brian, it's Brian something. Brian.
And this Castro, is this Brian. Is who Inoue, no, Cardenas' sparring partner?
No, this was Inoue's sparring partner.
For Cardenas.
And Ramon, right. No. He was just so. I'm gonna pull him up right now. Sorry guys, it's been a long weekend.
So you're saying, Inoue's sparring partner.
Inoue's sparring partner dropped Ramon Cardenas the fight before Inoue. Brian Acosta.
Thank you.
Sorry, Brian. Brian Acosta was the sparring partner of Naoya Inoue for multiple camps over in Japan, and he's not a big puncher. And he had dropped Cardenas in the fight prior to Cardenas fighting Inoue. And Inoue had brought that up fight week. He's like, yeah, he had a very tough fight with one of my sparring partners who doesn't really hit that hard. And he got hurt and got dropped. So he kind of seemed like he was like, all right, if my sparring partner was able to put this guy down, I'm gonna knock him out, no problem. And then he gets caught. And then he's in a dangerous fight. And then he has a real fight. And then with Neri, I don't know. I remember this very clearly. Neri's walking to the ring. And I'm like, this guy looks locked in, and he looks dangerous, and he is dangerous. He's a very hard puncher, and he was just there. He was completely locked in, but then fell apart, completely frayed at the seams when Naoya started putting it on him.
He ended him.
So, ended him. I mean, in vicious, brutal fashion. So yeah, I think we're going to get a combination because the respect that he has for Nakatani, he's not hiding it. He is very adamant about talking about the respect that he has for Nakatani and how good he is. So he understands what's in front of him. But at the same time, dude, that national pride, I'm the best Japanese fighter in the world.
That's nuts.
He thinks I'm the best fighter in the world, but also I'm not losing. He said it. I'm not losing to Nakatani. He's not losing to a Japanese fighter.
We've talked about
that's the mentality.
We've talked about Inoue. You think that Inoue eventually will lose that O because of his willingness to fight top talent. But we've kind of said, oh, it's going to come at a featherweight. It's going to come later on. Like, not yet. You bring up like the national pride. Like, Inoue's been on such a run, and he's been so dominant, and he's been pound for pound number one or number top three at least for the last couple of years. And then he could potentially have a guy like Nakatani, who, yeah, obviously is decorated and is in the top 10 in his own right. Yeah, but the idea of Inoue losing to Nakatani and kind of spoiling, I don't want to say it's going to spoil the last 10 years of Inoue, but it's going to, the biggest Japanese fight between two Japanese fighters and Inoue loses it, that's brutal. That's brutal. That's boxing for you because one night can ruin your whole career and your whole life's work. So I think that is weighing on Inoue in this fight.
Inoue understands this is not just a fight. This is a legacy fight. This affects his legacy. And like you said, it's not going to wipe away all he's done because what he's done is incredible, illustrious career. But losing to a Japanese fighter in Japan on the biggest Japanese fight ever at this stage, dude, the pressure is on, and in a way, he's shouldering that. He's okay with it. He's talking about it.
He's fine with the pressure.
That would be disastrous for him.
That's a wild
and it very well may happen. Yeah, may lose to Nakatani.
Everyone's, you know, the last Nakatani fight. Everyone's harping on that. But I want to talk about the punch stats and how he's throwing 60 around, which is pretty. It's a good pace, but like he still ramped it up in that Picasso fight, and he. He got, he kept it pretty, he never went above 82 punches a round. He hit 82 in the second round, 73, 69, 66, 67, 65. He's a machine, 61, 72.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's like a robot.
Whereas the earlier fights, he was way higher up. He was sitting around 80 punches a round, sitting in the, touching maybe 100. And that's not the case in his last couple of fights. So I'm very curious to see which Inoue comes out in this fight. Is he going to play into the crowd? Is he going to think about legacy? Is he going to say, I got to get this guy out of here before he could potentially touch my chin? Because safe to say, but outside of maybe Neary, like Nakatani is probably the biggest puncher that Inoue has faced, correct?
Donaire.
Donaire can crack.
Donaire's left. Donaire's left hook. Yeah, Donaire's left hook is
top three.
Also, once again, another left hand that bothered Inoue. Every shot that has dropped or hurt Inoue has been a left hand. Donaire at bantamweight, especially when Naya fought him, that was probably the biggest puncher that he's the most dangerous. Donaire is a fight altering, fight ending power puncher.
Yeah.
Nakatani, I don't see the same. Like Nakatani, like that knockout of Maloney, which is one of the most ridiculous, scary, nasty knockouts you're ever going to watch. He beat him up for 10 rounds before he did that. Donaire, it's lights out. So I think Donaire is a more dangerous puncher than Nakatani.
Well, I would say Nakatani is up there in terms of the...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, it's Inoue, it's Neary. I mean, it's Nakatani, it's Donaire, and it's Neary in terms of the hardest punches that Inoue has ever faced. But yeah, which Inoue will come out in this fight is going to be the interesting part for Inoue. Over to Junto Nakatani. I'm thinking of Nakatani. I watched his last fight, obviously. I watched it back. And I was so impressed with the first six rounds against Hernandez, Sebastian Hernandez. He was doing, like you said, like punch variation. His footwork, he throws that left hand, but he throws a different type of left hand. And he was the step back and then firing the left, just so accurate with it. The in and out, the great range, the unbelievable jab. Showed great defense, too, in that first six rounds. And then completely, the wheels just fell off. And that's because Hernandez brought a lot of pressure, which I don't think Inoue just doesn't fight like Hernandez. That's why I don't think we should put too much stock into this fight. But the first six rounds, he was gangbusters. And then I'm thinking of Inoue is most vulnerable early. So that's got me thinking too there with Nakatani. But are we putting too much stock in Nakatani's last performance as he heads now towards Inoue?
I think Vegas is. I'm not. I'm in the boat with you, and I think I said this on a past show. I actually think that tough fight with Hernandez is going to help Inoue in this fight, because he just went out there and blasted that guy out. He's like, oh, look, 122. I'm still that guy. I can do that. I don't think it would have helped him as much, because I've seen some interviews with Rudy Hernandez, who trains Nakatani, and he specifically spoke about all the things that I saw were an issue in that fight. And that is really eye-opening, because they saw it as well. It was blatantly obvious where Nakatani needed to improve, and they're obviously aware of it and are working on it. That shows me that he's going to be an even more dangerous fighter come fight night, because he did get exposed a little bit. There were some things that needed to be worked on, and they're doing it. They're actively working on it for the biggest fight of their life. So, yeah, I am not in the camp that is going to solely harp on Nakatani's last performance because it wasn't stellar. I'm going to look at that as actually a good thing, and he's going to be an improved fighter come next weekend.
I think he learned from it.
Yes. Rudy Hernandez, I'm telling you, he said everything that I was making a checklist of the issues that Nakatani showed in that fight, which were going to be a real problem if he fights Inoue, and Rudy talked about that, and it was his footwork. It was using the jab, a jab that was also going to be a weapon, not just a power punch setup. Because that was one of the issues that I had, is he was just using the jab to land the power shots. He wasn't using it as a weapon. He can have a good, stiff, hard jab. You can do damage with a jab. And you can offset range. You can offset timing. You can break up the rhythm. He does have a jab, but he didn't use it against Hernandez in that way. He essentially was just like, I'm hitting this guy with power shots. I'm blinding you with my throwaway jab. And here comes the big power shots, which Hernandez walked through all night long. And to your point, Hernandez doesn't fight anything like Inoue. Inoue doesn't fight anything like Hernandez. Hernandez is just pressure, forward, 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 like a marching redcoat just coming at you. Do, comes forward, which, I fought guys like that. It's very difficult to do. It wears on you. And especially late in a fight when you can't hurt the guy and he's still coming, it can really wear on you physically, mentally, psychologically. Inoue's got that in and out, explosive, close the gap. He doesn't stay on top of you the whole time unless he's looking to close in for the kill. So there's a lot of boxing involved with fighting Inoue. There is going to be a jab contest early, and that's where there's going to be spots where Nakatani is not going to have to deal with just insurmountable pressure. There's going to be thinking they're going to be playing chess. There was no chess with Hernandez. Hernandez was in your face.
That was like
he was in your face.
Rock'em sock'em. Second half of the fight, when Nakatani gave up, I don't know if it was he got tired, fatigue. It's probably a lot of things. It was a little bit of fatigue.
Also, Hernandez hits hard.
Yeah.
He had a lot of knockouts, and you could see the marks that he was leaving on Nakatani's face. Every time he touched him, he left a mark. Some guys just hit. They could just crack. And a lot of times you can tell because like that, like little shots, and then you see a guy and you got a little mark on the side of your head because you got clipped with a thumb, you know, or you got hit with a little piece of a shot, and it leaves a mark. Some guys just have that.
And I was watching it, and I'm like, you know, the first six rounds, Nakatani's using that jab, using the distance. And like I said, is it fatigue? Was it, the accumulation of shots? Next thing you know, they're in a phone booth type of fight. And Nakatani's got to figure out the variation too, on terms of his offense, being in and out, using that jab, using the length. He is big for 122 pounds.
Long.
I mean, this is his now second fight. We got to remember, that was his first fight at 122. There was a lot of questions. Should Nakatani move up? Is he really a super bantamweight? Is he more fit for 118? You got to give him a lot of credit for going up to 122, and now in his second fight, taking on arguably the best fighter in the entire world. But I was also reading up on Nakatani, and there was a couple of reporters were at his most recent sparring session or his last sparring media session, and they were looking. They noticed that his legs are much bigger. Like, he's put a lot of time and effort into lower half strength, which means that he's going to want to sit down on his shots. He's going to want to end this, which I found pretty interesting as well. I mean, all fighters want to end fights, but it's just one thing that the Japanese media took from the media workouts.
That's interesting. Lance Pugmire from Boxing Scene, he went to watch Nakatani train with Rudy Hernandez, and he was amazed at his speed. He was really blown away. And Lance has been around the sport for a long time. He's been to a lot of camps. He's seen a lot of guys live. But like for him to say that a fighter's speed stuck out is meaningful for to me. And so he's still got the speed, even though he's putting on weight in the lower half. It's a good sign. That's a good sign if you're Team Nakatani.
Yeah, because I once again, you're only as good as your last performance. I get that in boxing.
What have you done for me lately, especially, boxing? That's what it is.
Right, exactly. And especially when you don't really watch these lower weight guys. Like a majority of boxing fans, I would say the hardcores watch all of Nakatani's fights. Yes, but even there's some that missed him. All the hardcores all watch Inoue's fights. But now, like, you hear about Nakatani coming up the ranks, and you probably didn't watch his run at 112. You probably didn't watch his run at 115. You probably didn't watch his run at 118. But you did tune into that last fight because it was on the same card as Inoue, and they were talking about how this is going to lead to the biggest fight in Japanese history. And then he comes out and doesn't look outstanding. So I think there's a lot of fans out there that are just harping so much on that last fight with Hernandez and not looking at all the great things that Nakatani can do. But, you know, there is some truth in it in your last performance. There were a lot of things that you saw, Chris, that were alarming. And another thing, too, is the stage. Like, Inoue is the second biggest star in all of Japan behind Shohei Ohtani. He's fought at the Tokyo Dome against Luis Nery. He's in his 25th straight title fight. Nakatani has a great record and a great accolades, but he's never been on this stage. He's never been here. He is playing with house money. I will say all the pressure is on Inoue, but in terms of coming up to the moment, you got to figure the edge is to Inoue. Nakatani's never been on a stage like this.
No, absolutely. This is a we see this old lion, new lion situation, and it's funny to think of Inoue as an old lion, but he is relatively, you know. So this is one of those crossroads type fights where, you know, the youthful champion who wants to come up and wants to be that guy and potentially will be that guy one day, you've got to face the current guy, and that's what we've got here. This is classic, and in so many ways, this is a story as old as time in boxing. You've got the old lion who still might have another one in. You know, most people think he does. He still might have more to give the pride. But Nakatani wants to upset that, and he's risking it. Like you said, he's going up in weight. He's young. Like, did he have to take this fight right now? Kind of probably did because of the weight classes and where
anyway
seems to be going next. Yeah, if he wanted this fight, he's kind of was in a tough spot because is this the opportune time for Nakatani? Probably not. No, he would have had another fight at 122. He could have got more mature into the weight class before he got this fight. He would have been coming off of a better performance where he has a little more confidence. So no, this is not the ideal time for Nakatani, but you don't have a choice. This is the opportunity to fight the best Japanese fighter in the world today, potentially ever. And you go for it. You got a chance for greatness, and Nakatani's taking a swing.
I still think it's coming at the right time. Like, obviously, you know, we talk about super fights in boxing. Are they happening at the right time? Are we getting them too late? Are we getting them too early? Like, obviously, Inoue, maybe 2 years ago, like, Inoue was at his complete superpowers when he beat Fulton.
Yes.
Maybe even before that. Maybe a few fights before
that. That was mind-blowing.
In terms of, like, popularity and skills, I would say 2023, 2022. But at that time, Nakatani wasn't even close he's a champion, but he wasn't like at the stature he is now. Nakatani did his thing and kept winning, you know, big knockouts.
Now, this is a legitimate super fight. I don't think
it's too late now. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like, I still think Inoue's at the very top of his game still.
Agreed.
Like, yeah, he got
clipped. Agreed. That's why I felt weird being like, oh, the old lion. Cause I hate to say that he's old cause his performances have not dipped at all. You know, so it's not about him being old. It's just relatively, he is the older guy.
Yeah, but is that going to be like something we always discuss too with older fighters, quote unquote, is like getting old overnight?
Did he get old overnight?
Hasn't happened to Usyk. Pretty much never happened to Mayweather. Pacquiao saw a few of those moments, but not like that bad. Like some of the greats.
Pacquiao definitely got old, but he adjusted really well.
When he beat Thurman, that was insane.
I was going to say, the Keith Thurman fight, he was old. He didn't fight 40. 3 minutes of every round. Yeah, I know. but he changed the way he fought. So he looked old, but he made it work. That's how special Pacquiao is, though.
Yeah, but anyway, he's not that. And like we said, he's 32. Not that old, and he's still firing. Like, he's
throwing. I still think he's at the height of his powers. Yeah. So if he is to lose, it's not going to be like, ah, yeah, but he was an older Inoue. I'm not gonna use that excuse.
No, the Inoue haters, there are a lot of them, there's not.
Are there?
No, I wouldn't say haters, for lack of a better term. They're more like Inoue
critics.
Just like, he's not as good as everyone says he is. Like, yeah, I understand he's good, but he's not top guy because he's simply not American. Doesn't fight over here. So, like, it's crazy.
I would like to meet these people.
Well, you're not on Twitter all day like I am.
You talk to the best fighters in the world, and they all say,
no, I think it's absurd. But there are some people out there that just don't believe fully in the hype still, which I find insane. And they point to getting dropped, you know, Neri and the Cardenas fight. They point to that because they say, oh, my pound-for-pound greats shouldn't get dropped. They got to be invincible. It was just a Mayweather thing.
Yeah, I don't agree. I don't agree. The best fighters in our sport history have been dropped. They've been hurt. They've lost, and they've been knocked out. Like it happens. It's part of the sport. You know, you do this long enough, you will get beat. You will get knocked out. That's just the way the sport works. But also, if you're fighting the best of the best all the time, that happens too. You're taking a risk. This is what sports are about. Inoue hasn't avoided a single fighter. He's been able to make every fight too. That's another thing. Your favorite pound for pound fighter wasn't able to make a lot of those fights when they were in their prime, or when both guys are in their prime. Inoue has been able to fight everybody when he was supposed to. The MJ fight was a little, you know, delayed, but that was because MJ lost. He lost. You know, if he didn't lose, that fight would have happened sooner. But he lost. That's on him. That's not on Inoue. And he beat the guy. He knocked out the guy that beat him anyway, and then beat him, and then beat him. So.
Yeah, he could potentially be facing Bam Rodriguez. Some chatter about that. Eddie Hearn talked about it on the...
I know there's a lot of talk about that. Like, I don't even want to talk about this. We have such a good fight in front of us. Like,
I don't know.
Why are we going elsewhere?
Boxing. We got to... DAZN's got to drum up some hype around it. About Bam. Bam just announced the fight for June. Inoue's fighting this week. Classic promotion. Promotion 101. Eddie's going to hype up Bam Rodriguez by bringing up a potential opponent in... Inoue, I don't think it's a trap fight for Inoue. I don't think he operates like that. He knows the task that's at hand here. But to Nakatani one last time here, what is Junto Nakatani's path to victory? How does Junto Nakatani defeat Inoue in this fight?
He has to utilize that southpaw stance, and he's got to vary up that lead hand. I think the jab and his footwork from the southpaw position is his key and his path to victory. He's got to use that blinding jab. He's got to use that stiff jab, that stab jab, that power jab. He's got to mix it up. He does a really nice job of being deceptive with his lead hand. He'll lull you to sleep with that front hand. He'll put it in front of you, make you blink, and then he's cracking you with a big left hand. Hitting Inoue with a shot he doesn't see, especially with the left hand, is going to come off the jab. So we always, you know, we're talking about the left hands that have hurt Inoue in the past, the Cardenas, the Neri, and the Donaire. If Nakatani can, the way for Nakatani to land those shots is not going to be catching and on rushing in Inoue who's throwing, you know, caution to the wind. It's going to be by utilizing a deceptive jab that's going to mask that left hand coming. And if he can do that, he's got a real shot because he has enough power and enough length and boxing IQ to land the heavy artillery. And the question is, how well is Inoue going to take it? That's my biggest question in the first couple rounds. How much does Nakatani's power, how much did it carry up to 22? How much was the last fight an aberration because Hernandez was just super gritty tough and it was his first time in the weight class? You know, how much is it as he put on the weight now to be more mature at the weight? But also Inoue's chin, it's not unbreakable. It's been cracked. So it's all relative, right? It's like, oh, he doesn't hit that hard. Yeah, but that guy's chin has some susceptibilities. It's been touched. He's been down. So early on, seeing what kind of effect Nakatani's power has on Inoue, I'm going to be really, really locked in for those first 2 to 3 rounds about looking for that.
Let's go over to the odds. Naoya Inoue is a minus 400 favorite in this fight. One of the smallest in terms of...
getting wider though, no? Wasn't it minus 375 before?
Yeah, it's more money coming in on Inoue. He was just around this for the Fulton fight. Mm-hmm. So that just shows you what they think of Nakatani. Nakatani is plus 300. Over under is 10.5. I think this goes the distance. Inoue by decision is +180. Kind of like that. Inoue by knockout or stoppage, +105. Do you think Nakatani can outbox Inoue in this fight? If Nakatani is to win, do you think it's via decision? Because they have that at +800.
You don't necessarily have to outbox a guy to beat him in to a decision. Because if you're hurting him and you're able to, you know, domesticate him in that sort of way, yes, I do think that Nakatani could win a decision.
+800 there.
He would have to hurt Inoue. I don't think that's the way it's going to go, but
Nakatani.
I think Nakatani's best bet is by KO.
But and that's +550. This is all according to
Vegas does not believe in him.
This is all according to DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, let's go to the Chris's categories for one of the biggest fights of the year: Inoue versus Nakatani. We start with power.
Power Inoue. I think at this weight, he's shown that he has the power also with the level of opposition. A lot of this is falling. I'm falling into the trap as well. What have you done for me lately with the last fight? You know, but this, it literally just could be, Hernandez just could be an iron jawed guy. Like, and we might see that Nakatani actually is the brutal puncher at 22 that he was at 118. But the only thing I can go off of is that last fight. That's his only fight at 122. And for that reason, I got Inoue anyway.
Speed
Inoue as well. I think his explosive first step, the way he closes the gap, the fundamentals of his technique gets him there faster, his athleticism, his bouncing, his firing in. I think he's got quicker feet than Nakatani. I think this is an interesting point. Guys with longer arms tend to it takes them more time to get the hands back home. So having a long reach is really good on the outside. It's actually really bad on the inside because that punch has to come back, mm-hmm. has to travel more of a distance to get back. So that's another place where the Inoue speed is going to be better.
And we have defense.
Nakatani. I think that the willingness of Inoue to put his chin on the line and take risks to try and knock you out, the fact that he's been down. He is a very good defensive fighter. Don't get me wrong. Like, I know whenever we do these categories, it's like, well, one guy's got
to
be it.
Have to remember it's where the categories are versus each other.
Right. It's not like, anyways, no defense. You know, Nakatani is defense. Anyway, no, it's not like that. Yeah, he's excellent.
Like, I actually think Nakatani is his calling card is obviously his power, but he's very quick too.
Just very quick.
Just a smidge quicker.
Right. And also, the point that I made about the length, that can actually play into Nakatani's hand to where even if he is a little bit slower, Inoue has to travel more distance to get there. And then the speed becomes nullified in that way. Maybe Nakatani, but I'm going with Inoue because I think his first step is very quick. Defense. Yeah. Nakatani, yes, he looked a little porous in that last fight, but I think that was more to do with just the pressure and the maybe conditioning and dealing with the new weight class and a guy who was just a brutal puncher and very, very strong and good and solid chin. But in the past, Nakatani gets hit very, very little. And again, he's never been down. To those critics of Inoue, he's been down. So defense, I'm going with Nakatani.
And then finally, ring IQ.
This is a really tough one because I really think Nakatani is a brilliant tactician. And, you know, what he does is he's very smart. He's very clever. He sets traps. He thinks ahead. He's all around an excellent, excellent fighter. But I lean an Iowa Inoue once again. And I'm going to do that based on strength of schedule and the fighters that he's fought. You know, we mentioned that Donaire fight. Donaire is such a dangerous opponent. He fought him twice. And he stopped him in the second time in such a scary, brilliant fashion. And he did that through intellect. He did that through boxing IQ. So this is another one that's going to be neck and neck. I'm going off of Inoue because of the experience that he has and who he's done it with. You know, that Fulton destruction was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that was all boxing IQ. That was an IQ. That wasn't about speed. That wasn't about power. That was IQ. And he set everything up beautifully with the jab. So, yeah, I'm going to go Inoue anyway on IQ as well.
All right, it's time for our predictions. Inoue versus Nakatani. I always go first. I'm putting you on the clock here. You go first.
I'm going Naoya Inoue. And I think we get a decision. I think we have some exciting moments. I think someone hits the deck, maybe both. But I think Naoya Inoue closes this fight strong and wins by UD.
Wow. Both guys hit the canvas, then we have an all-time thriller. Potentially.
Yes.
In this type of fight, which is being billed as the biggest fight in Japanese history, both guys hit the canvas. I'm also going with Inoue by majority decision. So they're going to be one scorecard that has Nakatani. I think Nakatani is going to be up for this fight. But ultimately, I haven't seen any fall off for Inoue to say that he's going to lose this fight. He's going to do that hybrid where he is cautious but also powerful. I think he's going to find that perfect mix. He's just been on this stage a lot more than Nakatani. Inoue by majority decision with a good, really good fight, though. Really, really good fight. Inoue gets his hand raised in a thriller.
Yeah, I do expect a very good fight. And I failed to mention what you just did, that I think it's going to be a hybrid performance by Inoue. I think he's going to be cautious but aggressive. And I think he's going to understand what's in front of him, and he's gonna seize the moment. That's another thing about Inoue. He seizes the moments. He's been in so many of these moments, you know, so you get, there's a lot of power to that as well. And but listen, this is why we fight the fights. The young lions coming hungry. I'm so excited for this fight. I like both these fighters so much. It's so hard for me to pick against Nakatani because he is one of my favorite young fighters today and favorite champions. But it's just hard to pick against that Naoya Inoue.
Yeah, I don't see him. I haven't seen anything. Like, I haven't seen that drop off. And then, like, Nakatani's good, but I just feel like he's not the guy that's going to do it. Like, if Inoue is to lose, I think it's going to be up at featherweight.
Agreed.
He gets a little bit older and faces harder punchers and guys that have been there for the most part. 8 a.m. Eastern. I think it's on DAZN. It's on DAZN, yes. I don't know if it's pay-per-view or not. I believe it's part of your DAZN subscription. Don't quote me.
Take all my money. I want to see this fight so bad. I don't care if I have to pay for it.
I will run down to the Starbucks at the Park MGM, get my coffee, go back to the room, set up, and watch a phenomenal fight from Japan.
Old man Dan, you kind of sleep in. I am up early. I'm an early riser.
I'm so definitely
8 a.m. is like 8 a.m. is like 8 a.m.
5 a.m. Vegas. Kidding me? Bro.
Yeah, but you're gonna be on East Coast.
Supposed to go out Friday night. I have plans.
You should not go out Friday night.
I'd never go out. Oh, I'm not on the broadcast for this one, but for the past couple of Vegas trips,
still shouldn't go out.
While I was doing my DraftKings live hits, I would not go out Friday night. You knew this. I would
go dinner. Go to our steakhouse. Go to the steakhouse. Go to your room. Go to sleep early. Oh, don't tell everybody our spot.
I hope maybe we'll give us a discount here. Right, give it a plug.
We're gonna get recognized in there now.
I hope so. Griggs,
I already do.
Our fan Jay Griggs, I hit him up.
Griggs,
He's taking me to a Zero Bond. It's a place inside the Wynn. Remember, we went to that lounge that he took us to, that one like exclusive lounge, like 80 floors up. Mm-hmm. This is another one. It's a membership club. He said it's amazing. Yeah, it's at the Wynn.
Leave it to Griggs. Yeah. Leave it to Griggs.
Wednesday. That's what I'm doing Wednesday. We're going to Zero Bond. Wednesday is all the interviews with all the fighters. We're talking to Benavidez.
He's such a good interview.
Yeah. I'm going to try not to bring up Canelo.
Love talking to him.
I do love talking to him. I have a lot of good questions for him because I think he's like coming into his own as like where people want to hear his opinion on things because he's been around for a long time. He's established himself as a star. You know, I believe this is his first headliner on Cinco de Mayo weekend, which has long been a Canelo date. Before that, De La Hoya, Mayweather. So this is big. I do think he's it's a big risk, too. I mean, everyone's just looking past Zerto because everyone wants to see Benavidez fight. Bivol better be a million other fights. And, like, are we forgetting that Zerto is freaking huge and he can punch? He's slow, but he's very good, Zerto.
Yeah, no, and it's funny. When this fight was first out, oh, God, I love this fight. I'm like, this is a dangerous, dangerous fight.
Really dangerous.
And then the odds came out. The odds came out, and they were so Benavidez heavy.
The odds.
I was like, what am I missing?
Is he 3-1? More?
Yeah, something. I think it's like that. 3 or 4-1.
Wow.
And then I started looking into the fight and thinking, watching their styles and watching their fights.
-4/390.
And the issue is that everything that makes Zerto good at cruiserweight, David does better.
Yeah.
He's a former 68 pounder. He's huge though. Zerto's gigantic. He's like a real cruiserweight, possibly a heavyweight. But it's his fast hands, his combination punching, and his body shots. That's what separates him from the other cruiserweights. He's got the hand speed of a 68-pounder, and he's fighting at 199. So he's got these bigger, slower guys that he's able to just tune up and throw tons of punches, grips the body. Guess what? David Benavidez does all of that, and he does it better, and he does it behind a good, stiff, hard, varied jab. So, yeah, when you look at the matchup, yes, their levels are close, but the way these two match up just favors Benavidez.
Yeah, I was ringside for Zerto versus Dorticos back in June of last year. That was the Jake Paul Chavez card. First time seeing Zerto up close. Very slow, but durable.
Durable.
Worked.
Saw that in the Chris Billiam Smith fight too. He got hit a lot in that fight, and it was just like just a war of attrition. Those two.
Workman-like effort from Zerto. Like, knows his way in and out of the ring. Is massive too. Like, these guys big. Could both be at heavyweight one day.
Killer body puncher. Zerto.
Yes, he's really diligent.
Really diligent body puncher. Consistent.
That's over in Vegas, May 2nd on PPV.com. Jarrell Miller won last night.
Looked good.
Threw 1,000 punches.
That's crazy for a heavyweight. 303 pounds, threw 1,000 punches in a 10-rounder.
Not on juice either, because...
Not on juice.
Not on juice. Like, the difference is when he was on juice, he was throwing 1,000, but he had power and he was knocking guys out. And but, you know, it was death by 1,000 knives when he beat Pero, who just folded after the second round. And Miller just big bodied him, bullied him, and he's bad. This is like a do or die type of fight for him. They threw out Jarrell Miller versus Deontay Wilder. That's what I want to see next. There's not many fights.
Hell yeah,
right?
Hell yeah.
There's not.
And I've never even thought about that fight. Hell yeah.
There's not many U.S. heavyweight fights we can even make anymore. These are two names that have been on the scene for about 10 years now. Wilder needs a dance partner. Jarrell needs a dance partner. Miller is not top five. He's not going to get those names. So he should look at the Wilders of the world. Put it in Brooklyn. Put it on the Boots Zayas card. Might be too soon. I think that's what's next for him. I saw some people talking about Miller versus Talma, which would be a very interesting experiment.
That was brought up this week when I was talking about it, and it's not a bad fight either. And I would rather see Miller get the Wilder fight than the Italma fight. The Italma fight, you're basically just looking to see how good Italma is, I would think. And then with the Wilder fight, I think Jarrell wins that fight. I think Jarrell's going to beat Wilder.
Oh, definitely.
And I would like to see that.
He's got more than Chisora has left in the tank. He's more measured and he has a better work rate. And Chisora had moments against Wilder. Wilder definitely won that.
Yeah, but also Wilder had to get off a lot of rust. He had to... you know, get active again. He had to be able to pull the trigger, and he did show he can do that. Also, apparently him and Chisora are friendly, so like it didn't have the same...
Wink-wink going on in that fight.
Yeah, it seemed like a little bit. With Jarrell, it's a dangerous fight. Listen, anytime Wilder's in a ring, it's dangerous, because he can clip you with a right hand, and that's all she wrote. And, you know, Jarrell's there. He's a big guy. He's not going to be slipping and sliding. You know, he's going to be there to get hit, and... What generally with Wilder lands, he puts you away. But I do think Jarrell has enough in the tank still to win against Wilder.
Yeah, I don't see that Talma fight happening. First off, Talma is with Queensberry, and I don't see Queensberry and Matchroom working together without Turkey involved, especially. They did those 5-on-5s.
Do you think they signed Jared Anderson just for Talma?
Well, he blew out his bicep. He's not fighting on the...
Oh, I didn't see that. Dang, that sucks.
The news came out last night. So he's not on that Usyk card anymore.
Damn.
Or not the Usyk. He was supposed to fight on the Dubois-Wardley card May 9th. But yeah, ultimately I do. He'll bounce back. Big Baby Anderson. He will bounce back.
Bicep tears are, they're rare, but it's funny. They're rare but common. It's rare. It's a rare injury. But it's common for boxers, for boxing, because of, you know, your bicep, like the snapping of a jab, and you know,
pronate.
If that gets tense, and then if you have to snap out, you know, a jab and fire that real quick, a lot of times if it's tight from just normal training, and then you fire out a fast jab or you hyperextend your elbow, pop that bicep.
Moses Atama is coming back July 25th. This was reported by Ariel Helwani. We don't have a opponent for Atama, but Hergovic is really, his name's coming up a lot. If Hergovic should beat Dave Allen, waste of time type of fight in April, we could see Atama versus Hergovic in late July. They're kind of moving Atama weirdly, man. I mean, he's
agreed.
He's obviously, he's like top 10 in all of the sanctioning bodies. He's positioned really well in I think the WBA or one of them, whatever. But I would like to see him just forget about the title shots. Forget about that. Easier said than done. And focus on fighting two more times this year where we could see him get some rounds. We could see him, what he's made of, different types of styles. And then 2027 hit the ground running when he'll be 22 years old. It's not like he's like 30 something, like Wardley. So they're moving him like a guy that's like on the precipice of titles, not like a guy that has 13 fights. I know he has a long amateur career.
No, doesn't have a long amateur career.
I thought he did.
No, he's got like less than 30 fights.
Okay, never mind. But still, that should even make it more the fact that he should be fighting more guys here and not being moved, but that's just how it is now. Like, it's way different than it was when Tyson was fighting 10 times a year.
Are they really moving him?
He's on a 2-fight schedule like everyone else in boxing.
I know, but like, in terms of, you know, the guys that he's actually getting in the ring with, they might be, you know, they're talking about him.
Right.
You know
what you're saying, but I want to see him more. Like, he just knocked out Franklin. I don't think he even got hit in that fight. And that was, what, last month?
No.
And now he's not fighting until late July?
Atama had 24 amateur fights.
That's nothing.
That's nothing. Literally nothing.
I mean, Haney and those guys have fought, you know, 150, 200, 300.
Yeah, 150, 200, 300 rounds, yeah.
So, but I mean, like, he just fought last month where he, fifth round stoppage, didn't get hit. And now we're looking at August, late July, August.
But if it's Hergovic, that's not an easy fight.
That's the one I want the most. Hergovic, Zhang, Bacoli. That's who one of those three.
Oof. All kind of older guys, all dangerous punchers. I think Zhang's very dangerous.
You could beat Zhang.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm not saying he can't, but that's. Yeah, and he probably will.
Hergovic's the best fight of them all.
Yeah. May not be the most entertaining, but definitely. You know,
he's got the most left in the tank. Or Bacoli is just like, what a weird career.
I want to see him fight somebody young.
No, that's not going to happen.
I know. We're not going to see a Richard Torres.
No Torres, no Wardley. Unless.
I mean, the Jared Anderson, but I don't know. I don't know how much he's got. In terms of his, I don't know, his confidence, his self-belief right now.
Anderson?
Yeah, we just haven't seen him.
I know, and now we're not going to see him for a while with the torn bicep. But, yeah,
bad timing.
That's what's going on in the heavyweight division. Miller gets the nice win. We get closer and closer to Usyk versus Verhoeven, which don't care about. I'll watch for the spectacle of it. But can't say I care.
Not a lot of wind in the sails on that one, huh?
Well, they haven't really ramped up the cover. Wardley versus Dubois, May 9th. It's like right around the
shootout.
Right around the corner.
Heavyweight shootout.
Big meaty men throwing heat. May 9th. That's what it's all about. So a lot of good things coming. A lot of good things coming down the pipeline, boxing world. We have you covered this weekend in Las Vegas. We'll have a ton of content coming your way. This week, so follow PPV.com for giveaways. Order the fight, Benavidez Zerto on PPV.com. Inoue Nakatani, Saturday morning. So we have a lot on the plate coming up, and this is why we do it. This is why we got our degrees in college, to talk about boxing. Right, Chris?
That's it. Yeah, that's the school of, what do they call it? The school of hard knocks.
Yes.
Got our degrees in boxing.
My degree's right there.
Degree. You see it?
Yeah, a little different.
That Mike Tyson.
That's Mike Tyson punch out. There you go.
That's not my degree. That's a Mike Tyson punch out picture. That I won at a silent auction. I don't know where my degree is. It's somewhere in the corner over there. All right, everyone. Have a great week. We'll come to you Thursday. I'll be in Las Vegas. Chris will be holding it down in South Florida. Have a great week. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourself at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We're out.